Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, it's Mary Lurson with Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. We're here live on Facebook via our wonderful friends at Intertalk Radio on Saturday at the NAMM Show. Here we are.
A big day.
Big day. And I'm here. How is it out there, by the way, before I introduce you?
It's madness. If you have to be somewhere quickly, forget it.
Yeah. I'm here with Rich Redmond, who is a percussionist, professional percussionist, also music educator, and has a motivational speaking thing going on. We'll talk about that more. So, first of all, what are you doing here at the NAMM Show? What does a drummer do at the NAMM Show?
It's a lot of handshaking. It's a lot of handshaking and hugs.
It's a lot of hugging, man.
It is.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's a lot of hand sanitizer because you don't want the anthrax.
Yeah.
But we all know about that. But no, I just came to show a little peace, love, and gratitude to all the companies. Thank you so much that's, you know, support me over the years, DW Drums and mm-hmm. Sabian Cymbals and Remo Percussion and ProMark and all those people that you know, make what I do work, you know, being a traveling musician, being a recording musician, and being an educator. So I just mm-hmm. come for a lot of hugs.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it's having the artist here among us is really important to the NAMM community and being part of it. So let's get the full picture of your career. Let's hear it. Give us the verbal curriculum vitae. What are you doing? Who have you played with? We want to enter truly into the cool factor here.
Okay? You know, there's so many podcasts floating around with my little Blue Sparkle snare drum story, but for me, it all started, I've been playing drums for 42 years. So 1976, I grew up in Milford, Connecticut, and I was hitting everything in sight, and my accountant dad and my nurse mother said, you are a type A restless kid, and we're going to get you to do something. So they got me a Blue Sparkle snare drum, and I started taking lessons.
Was it like had Ludwig on it?
Oh, it was a little no-name brand. And I think somewhere along the way in my musical journey, when, you know, musicians, it's, you know, you starve for your supper. I think I pawned it or something. I wish I hadn't done that. I had a little Blue Sparkle snare drum, and I was playing along to Kiss records and Queen records. My first teacher was a guy named Jack Berge, and he showed me how to hold the sticks and how to play a marching cadence. And then we started working into like rock beats and stuff. And then my dad got transferred to El Paso, Texas in 1981. And that was a blessing because Texas has an amazing music education culture.
Fantastic. And Connecticut's not bad.
Yeah, you know, if I was going to be a full-time music educator, it would be like, for sure, I would move to Texas because
it has a phenomenal ecosystem for music education.
It's amazing. Yeah. The parents, everyone takes lessons and there's instruments everywhere. And, you know, I was in a 400-piece marching band in high school and a 400-piece marching band at the Texas Tech University.
Drumline. You were drumline.
I was in the drumline and I ended up getting my bachelor's degree in music education with percussion emphasis at Texas Tech, and then I went to the University of North Texas and played jazz in the 1 o'clock lab band, which is kind of an illustrious, almost, it's a professional band actually. Mm-hmm. We toured and we recorded, and I played all over Dallas, Texas, and I played in cumbia bands, and I played for supermarket grand openings, and I backed up jokes and
working musician.
Did everything. Right. I said yes to everything. And then right around 1996, my goal in life was to tour the world on someone else's dime, hear myself on the radio. And I knew that wasn't probably going to happen in Dallas, Texas. I needed to go to a coast. And so through a series of auditions, I ended up in Nashville, Tennessee, area code 615.
Music City.
Yep. Music City, USA, which is having an incredible, when I was there, it was a one horse town. It was like you tied your horse up.
That was the beginning. Now it's like the Clydesdales, right?
Right now it's like, it's such an amazing
Ferraris.
Culture. Yeah. We have sushi. We have valet parking.
Big
it's a real city. It's a real city.
So who have you performed with and for, and who?
Well, I've been playing since 1999 with a young country rocker named Jason Aldean. So it's a gig I've had for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And important.
And it's very
life-sustaining.
Life-sustaining and life-changing. Right. And the fact that I've been able to, you know, go to 20 countries with my best friend and hear myself on the radio. And, mm-hmm. You know, so we beat the odds. And along the way, I think we kind of helped give permission to create this new music city sound that we have.
Yeah, describe the sound. It's a kind of a crossover thing.
Well,
right?
In the 90s, it, you know, Nashville is always about storytelling. It's right. about three chords and the truth. It's about relating to the common man and everything that happens between New York and LA.
And you know, just slow down a minute. He kind of said a mouthful there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Three chords and the truth, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, Erwin Howard, yeah.
Right? I mean, he just kind of laid it out there, but let's just soak that in for a minute.
Three chords and the truth is. Right. You know, most pop music is that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's storytelling. It's the story of the common man, something that we can relate to. And right. and if you wrap it up in a cool, memorable riff and an awesome melody, Nashville is the songwriting capital of the world. Even if you're a hit songwriter in Europe or New York and LA, you're always going to find yourself at some point in Nashville. And that's when Nashville was great to me because it taught me how to play a song. And that's a skill set, though. Now, if I go back to play classical music or improvisationally based music, jazz music, any kind of other music that I go back to play, the people that I'm working for can tell that I know how to construct a song. And that's something that as a drummer in the studio.
I was going to say, play a song as a drummer.
Mm-hmm. Which is basically stay out of the way.
Which is a really important like layering thing. Right, you have to know where it belongs, right. where it, when it can emphasize, when it can be meaningful, and when, like you said, get out of the way.
Totally,
right?
yeah. So less That's is more, great. Less is more, less is more, and it was an awesome skill set to learn. So, playing all these years with Jason, then as a result of playing with Jason, I've been able to work with other people like you know Ludacris and Kelly Clarkson and Bob Seger and Bryan Adams. As a result of playing year after year with him, mm-hmm. and then I've gotten to play the Grand Ole Opry with like people like Pam Tillis and. And Vince Gill and the you know the old guard of you know traditionalists, which is cool. So all the kids that are moving to Nashville, I say, yes, this is this rock based sound that is happening in Nashville. But you really should go back and you know study the roots because you have to be able to learn the rules so you can break them. Mm-hmm. Learn the rules first.
And that was your also your serious training in college, right? And you know you had a very serious music right. music learning.
Yeah.
Right? Degree, all this.
Yes, to speak these
all
languages.
This, all this college stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So we started out talking about Nashville in terms of this crossover thing that's happening. You call it the Nashville sound. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of where we are? This kind of amplified or sort of a higher mixture of country over crossing over into rock a little bit. And, yeah. and there's a little pop in there. And,
yeah.
And the songwriting thing is
there's
still.
There's hip hop in there. There's
right?
all these.
I mean, it's really.
Yeah.
It's in a new evolution.
It's great, yeah. Like 90s country was like, you know, a lot of kick drum and snare drum, vocal right here. And then there would be trading between the piano and the steel guitar. And now, like, years later, the drums have gotten louder. The vocal is even closer to you right here. And then there's less steel guitar. There's no piano. A lot of virtual instruments, a lot of drum loops. And it's just, you know, it's the new music of the people. It's like when you are driving down the highway and that soccer mom's got her minivan windows down, she's listening to this music, you know, so, which is very exciting.
You know, I was a trained musician. I was a classical flutist for years and taught music. I just want to say thank you for that, explaining that so clearly. Because I'm experiencing it, and my ear is asking these questions, where is this coming from? Or that's a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Wow, that I didn't know those things were going together now. I mean, that. Thank you.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
I feel a little bit more, my music education got a little rounder,
yeah.
thanks to you, is sitting here with you.
Is it flautist?
It'll cost you more.
Okay.
It's
flutist?
I never called it flautist.
Either way, I did.
Because I don't play the flout.
Yeah.
But if you want to call it flout,
oh, gotcha.
If you want to call me a flautist, it'll be a higher price.
Oh, yeah, I dated a lot of flute players. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope
a lot of French horn players. Too.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. You shot the right tessitura of the orchestra. Good for you. Okay. So what's up now? You're doing that. You're continuing to. Mm-hmm. To play in, you live in Nashville?
Live in Nashville.
Oh, cool.
I've been there 23 years. And then in the spirit of just kind of moving forward and all things and developing and staying hungry, I've been coming out to Los Angeles for 6 years. And in the last 2 years, I finally got a place and a car and a lot of drums. Every time I fly out here, I bring a new drum. Mm-hmm. So I've got a nice collection. And Los Angeles is my mistress. I come out here and
so you're doing studio work out here?
Do studio work.
Recording work, production
work? I play the Viper Room all the time. I play the, you know, the whiskey and I do all the, like the jam nights and then songwriters will have me flesh out their custom records and started getting a little bit into, I think, you know, if you're in Los Angeles long enough, you're going to act, you're going to do a little bit of acting. Like if you're in Nashville long enough, you're going to write a song. You're just going to read.
So have you written a song in Nashville?
Yes, I actually have three number one songs in Australia. I never have gotten a
what
number.
Are they?
There's a group called the Wolf Brothers, Silent E, the Wolf Brothers, cool guys. They're from Tasmania, and they play their own brand of really
the Tasmanian Wolf
country rockers. And so,
who knew?
Yeah, anybody that says, "Hey, Rich, we like your drumming, we like your songwriting, come write with us." Yeah, they've gotten 3 number one songs.
And what else? Number one.
So I've had 3 number one songs
with
as
them.
A songwriter
with them. The Wolf.
And then I've had 3 number one songs as a record producer. I produced 2 number one songs for a group called Thompson Square, which is a pop country group. And I had a number one song as a producer with a group called Parmalee.
Oh, hi, Parmalee. Yeah. They were on our broadcast.
Were they?
They're on Talking Music Education.
Oh, yeah?
I love those guys.
They're very fun guys.
They're fantastic.
You were able to get a word in?
Oh, barely.
Okay.
that was last summer. And at the end, they told us about, you know, the guy that got shot after a gig.
Oh, yeah. That's the brother, Scott.
And how they all moved into somebody's house and literally nurtured him back.
Yeah, they
to
are,
being able to play in the band again.
They're blood brothers.
I love them.
They're great, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I already love country music. I really liked it after that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were great. So you wrote a number one hit for them.
I produced their record.
Produced.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get you all back together when we're back in Nashville. We'll have to, get the Talk at Music Education podcast band back together.
You know,
this
is great because I'm actually wondering how I can get more involved with NAM and music education because I'm a product of music education. I'm a big believer in music education. So whatever I can do at any level.
And so are we. So am I. So are all the people we have on our podcast. I mean, it's, you've shared your story with us. Now, in Connecticut, in Milford, you said, right? Was there a school band there? Was that where it all got started?
I was private lessons there. And then when I was 11, I moved to Opa.
So that's when you jumped right into
fifth
the school
grade band. Fifth grade band, and then all the way through.
It was on fire, right?
Yeah.
On fire.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to have you involved with our advocacy work. And, you know, by being on this podcast, you've made the first step.
Awesome.
So you're a part of it. You said you're acting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell us about that. Went to L.A., got discovered. No, tell us about that.
I wish it was that easy, but I just...
you're acting.
I play a lot of cops and detectives and the funny husband.
Where?
I played a over-caffeinated radio DJ in a movie called All Light Will End, and you could download it on iTunes. It's probably in Redbox. It's floating around out there. It's an independent film, so that was really fun. And then I just played a cop that got to beat up the lead actor on a show called Happy on the Sci-Fi Channel. So I'll be on episode 208, season 2, and it'll probably air in April.
Okay.
So that's really fun.
Are you loving that?
I love every bit of it, yeah.
Did you ever think you'd do that?
Of course, yeah. Everything that I do in my life is a result of being methodically chasing it.
You really, this was like the being on the road and, you know, this was just the boxes that you had to check.
Well, I look up to? I look to inspiration from guys like Sammy Davis. He was an all-around entertainer. He was a singer, dancer, actor, host, drummer.
I know.
And so I just feel like I want to do that,
So you have an acting agent. You've got all the bells and whistles.
Got teams,
and they're out shopping your headshots. And
it's all good.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's really fun.
That's fun. And then you're going to go back to Nashville and play it.
I just kind of bounce between a tour bus, my place in Nashville, and my place out here, and then wherever creativity takes me. I also do a little bit of motivational speaking. I'm a Fortune 500 company motivational speaker, so I speak to companies like Cisco, Johnson & Johnson, Hewlett-Packard, and I share a concept that is directly related to music education called CRASH. And CRASH is an acronym, stands for commitment, relationships, attitude, skill, and hunger, and it's a concept that people can live their life by to improve their life.
So you share that with the corporate and business community.
Kindergartners
eat it up, right?
Well, it's fun because... Yeah.
How to stay focused on what you want and what's
positive. I'm a drummer.
Positive.
People love the drums. If you don't like the drums, I don't know. I don't know.
Something's wrong with you.
Right.
Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you like the drums, and he goes, who's that cool cat behind the drums? I got to get to know who that person is, right?
Well, people are more apt, especially when I go do kindergartens, the kindergartner kids, they're like, oh, he cool, Mr. Redman. All right, then they'll listen to me because I can get them with the drums, So it's fun.
All right. So how can we find you? How do we follow you?
Easy.
You gave us a couple of things and we can download you on Netflix or something along the way. Yeah. But what else? How can we find you?
Man, I'm a sitting duck on the Google Nader. RichRedmond.com, R-E-D-M-O-N-D is my hub. And you can go to CrashCourseForSuccess.com if you're interested in my speaking events. And then if there's some drummers out there or drum educators, I have a 5.5-hour educational series called Drumming in the Modern World.
Okay. Great.
DrummingInTheModernWorld.com. Mm-hmm. And you can stream it to your device for the rest of your life. You pay one time. And you can just stream it to any device. And then if you're incredibly bored, you can just go to RichAx.com.
And that's your acting.
Yeah, it's got all that stuff.
That's the face of the Hollywood version of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I could definitely see you playing a cop.
Yeah.
I could definitely.
I love donuts.
I was a major, you know, went through like a 10-year Law and Order thingy.
Oh, man, you can just binge watch the heck out of that.
So in addition to having so much fun chatting with Rich, we're going to have him take us out on a wonderful Spanish instrument.
Yes.
The cajon.
It is a Peruvian instrument, but every chick singer in the world has to have someone playing their cajon in their coffee house.
Right.
So here's a little groove for you guys.
Bravo. And that is Rich Redmond thanking you so much for your time with us on Talking at Music Education. Thanks for being with us here from the NAMM Show. Have a wonderful day.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.